Shabbat Shalom. I've been struggling to make sense of a disturbing episode in this week's Torah portion for many years. As time goes on, I only find myself more uncertain about what it means. After a lengthy section on how the priests should prepare and offer sacrifices for God, Nadab and Avihu, two sons of the high priest Aaron, disregard these commandments and do things their own way. We read, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Avihu, each took his pan with fire and incense and brought this strange fire to the altar, such as the Eternal had not commanded them to do. And fire came forth from the Eternal and consumed them. Suddenly, without warning, Nadab and Avihu are killed. What happened here? The Midrash extrapolates that Nadab and Avihu must have behaved in a brazen manner, uncovering their heads, eating and drinking in the tabernacle, and dreaming of replacing Moses and Aaron as leaders of the Israelite community. Nadab and Avihu brought this destruction onto themselves. And this theme continues over many centuries, with commentators blaming Nadab and Avihu for causing their own demise. It's not so different from what we see in our day. When hearing of a tragedy, we want to know who is to blame, who is responsible for these devastating circumstances. We explained, it happened because he was texting while driving. It happened because she wasn't in the place she should have been. We try to reassure ourselves that there is a reason why bad things happen. We look for causality as a way to make sense of what ultimately cannot be explained. Just this week, another shooting, this time in a bank in Louisville, and the week before, a school shooting in Nashville. The Gun Violence Archive, a nonprofit research group that tracks gun violence using police reports, news coverage, and other public sources, reports that as of mid-April, there have been at least 145 mass shootings in the United States this year. That is incidents in which four or more people were shot. 145, and we're only in April. Shootings occur so frequently that most of us don't allow the horror to seep in. Yet disengagement and silence cannot be the answer. Directly following the death of Nadab and Avihu, we read a perplexing verse. Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Eternal meant by saying, through those near to me, I show myself holy and gain glory before all the people." And Aaron was silent. Moses tries to rationalize the irrational, giving Aaron a reason for the death of his children, and Aaron is silent. But what is Aaron's silence about? Is he numb with grief? Or is his silence the only response one can have to that which is incomprehensible? Talmudic scholar Rabbi Eliezer Diamond writes, "Perhaps Aaron's silence was a means of disengaging from his persona as priest. How difficult it must have been for Aaron to serve God in the very place where that same God had taken the lives of his two children." Yet one could argue that Aaron's silence upholds a power system, even though the rules of this very system led to the deaths of his sons. And what about our silence? When is our silence complicit in enabling tragedy? Recently, three Tennessee House Democratic lawmakers refused to keep silent. They raised their voices to fight for gun safety, and for this, they were expelled. One of these state's representatives, Justin Jones, said, "A week after a mass shooting, you expel me for speaking about the issue of weapons of war on our streets. We called for you all to ban assault weapons, and you respond with an assault on democracy." Expelled State Representative Gloria Johnson said, "You are not silencing my voice. You are silencing the voices of 70,000 Tennesseans that sent me here, that care deeply about gun violence and Medicaid expansion and public schools. And we are continually silenced on those issues and more. We cannot allow for those who fight for a safer world to be silenced. This is not the silence of grief. This is the silencing of justice. This is the silencing of democracy." In a few days, we will observe Yom HaShoah. While the intensity of the Holocaust can lead to a vast, incomprehensible silence, the fact of genocide requires us to be anything but silent. As Elie Wiesel famously said, we must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Sometimes we must interfere. This week, we honor and speak the names of those whose voices have been silenced by evil. We join together with other congregations to read names of people who perished in the Shoah. Please see our website for details. We have just celebrated Passover and retold the foundational story of the redemption of our people. We were freed. And from this position, we took on the responsibilities of the Torah, a sacred commitment to living our lives with laws, morals, and values that protect freedom, our own and others, that protect lives. Aaron's silence remains unexplained. Perhaps it was a response to grief, or perhaps it was a silent rejection, even briefly, to participating in a system that allowed his children to die. We may have a similar impulse to be silent, but we cannot afford to disengage. As a religious community grounded in Jewish values, may we use our freedom to demonstrate the urgency of speaking out. May we raise our voices in the chambers of power and wherever and whenever we confront hate and violence. May it be so. Shabbat Shalom.